Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is VSiN and DraftKings Network as we welcome you into this Thursday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings alongside Michael Lombardi. You heard him there. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Welcome into the program. I feel bad, Michael, because throughout the first hour, I multiple times called our Thursday night football matchup a clunker. And the reality is there's still betting opportunities. It's still going to be football that when we are in the dog days of summer and all we have on our television screen is baseball. Yeah, we're going to be begging for Bailey Zappi against Mitch Trubisky. So I'm excited for tonight. Now I've turned my tune around.
Yeah, I am too. Look, you know, it's an opportunity to see teams compete. It's also an opportunity to make money, to see how we handicap, to see what the weekend's going to look like. And look, we could be surprised. I mean, who would have thought, me, no one, last week, 10-point dog, Cincinnati, Monday Night Football, and since he comes out the winner, you just can't predict. And short weeks, coaches are forced to cut the game plan down. The execution sometimes becomes a little bit better because of that. So why not? This is two good rivalry games. Weather's not going to be a factor in this game as it will in some other games. So I'm going to enjoy it.
Pretty split bag here in terms of the betting splits. 54% of the handle is taking the points with New England, but 56% of bets are laying it. So it seems like the public is more willing to lay the big number with the Steelers in a low total game. In fact, if this ends up being the closing number, if it gets below 30, it'll be the lowest number that we have seen in 30 years, which is pretty remarkable. And with that, like I can't really sit here and encourage people to bet the over either because of the way that these offenses have performed paired with some of the defensive power. We know that the Steelers have and the Patriots have been excellent, particularly against the run.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, both defenses are liable to score as much as the offense, right?
Yep.
So you get a defensive turnover and, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, and you got a 17-10 game and one defensive turnover late in the game and all of a sudden you hit the over. So you have to, this all over is so low, it's ridiculous. It's unbelievable. Look, both teams play good defense. Both teams play conservative offense. Both teams want to try to manage the game without giving the game away. I think that's pretty clear. Both coaches understand where they are, their limitations in their offensive team. Mike Tomlin, like Belichick, he has a big issue because he's got to be careful because of he knows the reason he benched MVP Mitch last year was because before the bye week, they were turning the ball over, losing games at a rapid rate. And so after the bye, when they finally started Pickett, last year they only turned the ball over three times the entire rest of the season. This year, after the bye, they've only turned the ball over three times. Now, Trubisky comes in, and we saw this last year. When he came in last year against Baltimore, he had to finish that game. He turned it over twice. They should have beaten Baltimore at home that year, but they didn't because they turned it over. Tomlin knows what he has in terms of Trubisky. He's going to manage him, use his feet, let him do those things, but not put him in a tough situation to have to win the game. My question to you is, do you think we'll see Malik Cunningham today?
I would kind of like to. I'm not sold that we will. Then again, Bill Belichick didn't have any problem benching Mac Jones multiple times this season when he felt like the game wasn't going right. And even if Bailey Zappi wasn't better, it didn't seem to matter. Like, do you think we should? I would like to kind of see Malik Cunningham. I would like to maybe see a pop. But if you think that he can actually provide you with something good, maybe you don't want that because you're in good position to get a good quarterback in the draft next year if you don't.
Well, they need a little bit of positivity with their offense. Let's be clear, right? They got to have a little bit of positivity. I mean, they can't keep going along this pace. They just can't keep beating people up, right?
And no Ramondre Stevenson. Maybe you need a run threat, so that'll help you out.
Yeah, exactly. I think to me, you know, without Stevenson, you know, they got to put him in there. Maybe just try to loosen some things up and see what they have with the kid.
Would be interesting. I personally would like to see it because I know your boy Femi likes to say he needs to see more. I've seen enough probably of Bailey Zappi in my lifetime. It's a not so Zappi hour, if you know what I'm saying. You're picking up what I'm putting down. The Patriots, 1-12 ATS, their last 13 games in an underdog role. They have been the best team in the National Football League to fade throughout the season, 2-10 ATS on the year. Also have the longest active against the spread drought, dropping five straight ATS. So my approach, Michael, in this game, and I know how much you love to give me grief about teasers, especially when it involves a teaser. I know that this is bad news bears, but
here we go.
I did a same game teaser tonight. I just need the Steelers to win and an under 36. Thoughts?
I like it. I mean, you know, we talked about this yesterday with Uncle Harry. You know, he was on with his cartoon, right? Uncle Harry likes the same thing too. You know, he loves those teasers. I think it's certainly, you know, I think this could be a, last time they played it was 17-14 in week 2 of the season. Now, both teams were better offensively then than they are now in terms of Trubisky was the quarterback, but it was about the same. The Patriots were by far a better offensive team, especially in the offensive line, than they are now. So I think that's probably right. I think 36 is the number under normal circumstances that the game should come in at.
Yeah, the original total under was at 34. It got ticked down, obviously, to where we sit now at 30. Again, the lowest total that we've seen since 1993. We'll revisit this game again later on in the hour. I already told you my same game parlay, but give out some more prop angles to look at for Thursday night football. Mike Somich gave out some great bets as well in hour one. So if you missed any of the earlier portion of the show, make sure you download the Lombardi Line in podcast form. Today, we also dropped a new edition of the GM Shop. Michael and Femi did. Big Daddy Vince on the program, so you're not going to want to miss that. Let's take a look, though, Michael, at a couple other games that have had some line movement in it, and one of which we also talked about a little bit earlier, but with Zach Wilson stepping into the QB1 role once again for the New York Jets, we have seen that line against Houston come down a little bit. They were getting 5.5 points, now getting 3.5 against Houston. Do you think that that's a fair adjustment, or do you think the line probably shouldn't have moved with Zach Wilson?
I don't understand why it moved. I think it moved because of weather. I really do. We have talked weather all week. The Midwest isn't going to get hit with it, but the East Coast is. And maybe not as much rain as we anticipated, but certainly gust of wind. And look, I can't imagine that Zach Wilson can move any line. Can you, Stormy? You know?
No,
I can't imagine it.
Not for my money. I have no interest in backing the Jets in any way, shape, or form pretty much any week. They've become one of those teams that I just cross off my board when I look at it.
No question. Now, I'll tell you a line that's going to move. I just saw this on Twitter, is that when you look at the Jacksonville-Cleveland line, right, now there's video of Lawrence out at practice.
See, this is
throwing the ball.
You mentioned it earlier, Michael, but I just keep getting shades of that whole week when Trevor Lawrence was dealing with the knee injury and people said it was pretty significant, but he was going to test it out, you know, barring any setbacks, you know, we'll see if he's going to go. Nobody believed that week that Trevor Lawrence was going to start. And then he actually played really, really well in the game.
Yeah. And they went out there and he had his one. Well, and on the road, they play way better on the road. They play extremely higher level of offense. Lawrence plays better on the road. And this is what makes this game interesting. Now, we know, too, that there's going to be strong wind gusts here at Cleveland Stadium. It may, again, maybe not rain, but there will be gusts. It's going to be in the low 40s, a little drizzle, you know, 10-mile-an-hour winds with gusts up to 20. Not as bad as we originally thought. So it's a normal game. But I think what we've seen out of Lawrence is when he plays on the road, he's really good. They're undefeated on the road. They're covered the spread against on the road. At home, it's not the same story. And the Browns are the opposite. The Browns are horrible on the road defensively, but they're really good at home. So this is going to be a clash of two teams. I after watching that video online, not that I'm a doctor, but I get the sense that Lawrence is going to play.
Yeah, and he did say yesterday in his press conference that the rehab was going a lot better than he anticipated. He was feeling pretty good. So also, I liked his comments about him saying, everybody chill out. They do have golf carts. They did offer him one, but he elected that he was going to walk up the tunnel himself. Probably regrets that decision a little bit. Mm-hmm. What I thought was funny about that was that both of the guys that were helping him were smaller than him. So they're not really like helping him a whole lot from a weight standpoint as he was walking down the tunnel. Neither here nor there. How about the Green Bay Packers? We've seen that number go from Green Bay laying 5.5 to now 6.5, a 3-game win streak. They've got the Giants coming up in that Monday night doubleheader. The weather should largely have moved out from what I understand and from what I have read when it comes to Monday in MetLife Stadium. What are your thoughts there?
What I'm worried about here is I think the line tells us something, right? Why isn't this at 7? When they announced Tommy DeVito as the starting quarterback, the line didn't move at all. Okay? which tells me they thought DeVito was going to be the starter. But you know that Will, that Tyrod Taylor's still available. And you know DeVito is 20.3% of the time he drop backs to pass, he gets sacked. So that's not a good stat. And you know this Packers team can really, they have the skill players to exploit a very bad secondary of the Giants. I mean, one of the reasons the Giants can't beat the Cowboys is, A, they can't cover them. They really can't cover the Cowboys receivers. They'll struggle to cover these. If they want to play man-to-man, they'll struggle to cover. So I wonder why it doesn't go to 7. Why hasn't it gone to 7 yet? That's my only concern. It seems too easy to take the Packers here. Playing well, Giants coming off a bye, Giants don't score a lot of points, yada, yada, yada. But as you said in the break, sometimes taking the points in a low under total is really profitable.
Yeah, Giants currently getting 6.5, as you said. The total in this one, 36.5. I'll hit you with one more. We got 30 seconds. Buccaneers went from +2.5 to just +1 in Atlanta.
Wow, I know. I mean, I don't. This is one of those games where I want to take Atlanta, but they're on a 2-game win streak, and I don't think they can put 3 in a row together. And the Baker Mayfield's a much better player as a dog than he is as a favorite. And the Bucs, I think it moved a little bit, Stormy, because the Bucs are getting some defensive players back.
Okay, yep. Health obviously playing a factor in that one. We're going to step aside. When we come back, we've got No Way or No Doubt. And still to come this hour, a little NBA in-season tournament talk when JVT joins the program. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge this college bowl season, the VSiN experts have you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with our introductory offer of just $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of top plays made from all of our show hosts and guests. Tools like betting splits to let you see where the money and bets are moving for each and every game, and our college bowl betting guide where you get picks for every bowl game. Don't miss out, though. It's a limited time offer. VSiN.com/subscribe is where you can do it. Sign up today for just $9.99 and become part of the Sports Betting Network. That's VSiN.com/subscribe, VSIN.com/subscribe.
Do you disagree with these takes?
No way.
No way.
Or do you approve?
No doubt.
No diggity, no doubt.
It's time to ask Michael Lombardi, No Way or No Doubt.
All right, Michael, we've talked a lot about how many games are going to be weather impacted coming up for week 14 of the NFL. This could be, in fact, the first week since December 26th of 1993 that we have 3 separate games that fall under a total below 33. So No Way or No Doubt, more than half of the games this week, more than half of the week 14 totals will go under. What do you think?
I think it's an under week. Yeah, I do. We got so many backup quarterbacks too, Stormy.
True.
You got bad weather and backup quarterbacks. I'll go No Doubt it'll go under.
And we talked about the wind trend a little bit this week. NFL games with 10-plus mile-an-hour winds at kickoff, 18-5-1 to the under this year, going under by an average of 5.5 points per game. We have 5 games that match that so far this weekend. Unders in general this season have been the way to go, 110, 82, and 1 overall this year. Although last week, for the first time in a while, it was an over week. We'll see if we can revert back. After winning his first 2 games with the Minnesota Vikings, Josh Dobbs came back to earth. He's dropped back-to-back starts, coming off a 4-interception performance against the Chicago Bears. No way or no doubt, the Pastronaut will bounce back against the Raiders with the return of Justin Jefferson. What do you think?
I think no doubt. I disagree with Mike. I think with Kevin O'Connell, I think he's a really good play caller. And I think there's so many limited options to the Raiders defense in terms of how to play Jefferson, how to play this team. And with some practice time, a lot of practice time and a lot of study time, I think Dobbs will play well. Now, look, Dobbs' problem isn't throwing interceptions. Dobbs' problem is fumbling. Mm. You know, he fumbles way too much. He's loose with the ball. He's got that little bit of the Justin Fields issue where he fumbles. He's got 14 fumbles currently in the league, most in the NFL. So that's really what he has to correct. And if he does, I think he moves the ball. I think he'll move the ball on the Raider defense, which is limited in terms of the options they have to attack this Viking offense.
Okay, that game is here in Vegas. Vikings, though, on the road, laying 3 points total in that one, sitting at 40. Let's talk transfer portal here a little bit. Yes, we're throwing in an NCAA one here for you. By the end of the day on Monday, when the transfer portal opened, Michael, there were over 1,000 Division I players that were in the portal, up from 775 the year prior. This number included, obviously, a number of impact players. Ohio State quarterback Kyle McCord, the top one that comes to mind. Dylan Gabriel, DJ Uiagalelei. No way or no doubt the NCAA should wait until after bowl season to open up the portal. What do you think?
I think no doubt they should. They should definitely wait. Because let's face it, like, why are we having this confusion? Like, if the kid, you know, why would we do it before the bowl games play? You know, if you're Ohio State, you're going to a bowl game. Now you've lost all these players. To me, it doesn't make any sense. So I say there's no doubt they should do that.
Speaking to that, Missouri now a 2.5-point favorite in the Cotton Bowl against Ryan Day's Ohio State Buckeyes. But the thing that's tough about that is I know, like, early enrollment has become really important for a lot of these players that transfer, getting acclimated to the place. A lot of the argument is, if your coach can leave, why can't a player? And I understand it from that standpoint also. It's just tough. It stinks because bowl season used to really mean something. And a lot of that fun of the bowl season and those great highlights that we've seen from years past, we're not getting as much of because it's college football playoff or bust, really, with all the opt-outs and transfer portal kids. Now, when Justin Fields, Michael, was asked earlier this week about his future with the Bears, given the team's draft position, whether it's fair to factor into his evaluation over the next 5 games this season, his response was, quote, life isn't fair. So me personally, I'm just focused on what I can control and the rest is in God's hands. Good response there, Justin, especially because no way or no doubt, Michael, the Bears will use their high draft pick on a quarterback in 2024.
No doubt. No doubt they will. Because I think they've seen enough. Like, how much more do we... I know Femi needs to see a little bit more, but how much more do you need to see?
Does he still? Come on. He's got to be on board now.
Of course he does. No. He always wants to see a little more. I think he's... There's no question he's a talented runner. But he doesn't throw the ball, especially when the game is, we got to throw it to win it. That's the problem. He turns the ball over. And I don't think there's an offense that you could develop around him that's going to be consistent enough. Now, you know, maybe if he goes somewhere and takes a year off and they fix him, but I think there's no doubt the Bears will draft. If they get the first pick in the draft, they'll draft Caleb Williams.
A little bit of a different situation all of a sudden in Green Bay. The Packers rebounded from a 2-5 start and a 4-game losing streak to winning 4 of their last 5. They're coming off huge wins on Thanksgiving against the Lions, upset of the Kansas City Chiefs. Jordan Love's performance, a big reason for that turnaround, Michael. No way or no doubt that Jordan Love has proved he's the future franchise quarterback in Green Bay. He's proved enough.
No way he's proved it. Now, he's on his way to proving it, but no way has he proved it yet. I think the next 5 weeks are going to be critical to him. I really do. Can he maintain it? One of the things quarterbacks have to do is competitive stamina. They've got to be able to do it over and over again. That doesn't mean if he throws an interception, I'm out. No. He's got to show that the consistencies he's developed so far this year can carry over into what he needs to do next year. I think the next 5-6 games are critical for him.
And going to be critical for playoff position. Currently 6-6 in that 7th spot in the NFC. They're a 6.5-point favorite on Monday night against the Giants. Over this 3-game win streak, though, credit where credit is due to Jordan Love. He's got the best QBR in the league over those last 3 games. Completion percentage just shy of 70%. And he went from, over the first 9 weeks of the season, having a 14-10 touchdown to interception ratio to having 8 touchdowns and no picks. Against those Packers coming up on Monday night, I referenced they've got the Giants coming up. Okay, the Giants have decided that they're going to continue to go with Tommy DeVito, as we mentioned earlier here in the program, despite Tyrod Taylor being back from injured reserve and his window being open. The New Jersey native won each of his last 2 starts, and head coach Brian Daboll said, quote, I just thought Tommy earned it. No way or no doubt, Michael, Tommy Cutlets gives the Giants the best chance the rest of the season.
No way. No way. I mean, if they're smart and he gets sacked, eventually I think Tyrod Taylor's going to have to come in the game. I mean, there's just no way. I mean, have you watched these games? I just wonder, has Daboll been at the games? I don't know. like you, when you have a 20% sack percentage against teams that don't even rush the passer that well, like the Patriots, it's a problem. I mean, look, you can get, again, this is what happens to the Giants. They get lost with their win. I mean, they beat their Patriots, what, 10-7? The kid missed a 37-yard field goal or a 27-yard field goal. It's a comedy. You could have easily been in overtime. The only reason you got any points, Patriots' bad tackling and the interception by Mac Jones that got returned back down to the 20. So I don't get it.
Well, Michael, that's a big part of what I was going to ask you. Like, yes, it's great that the Giants were able to get these back-to-back wins, and he does have more touchdowns than, I mean, any other quarterback has had this season in New York for the Giants. But how much of it is the opponents that he got to play these last 2 weeks, too? Like, you look at those scores, and it's not like they're lighting it up.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, who gives you the – I mean, here's Tyrod Taylor. He had a chance. He went into Buffalo, you know, without a full deck and was able to come out of there, had 14-9, had a chance.
They were a play away.
Exactly.
They were a play away against Buffalo. They beat Washington, had two touchdowns in that game. I just feel for Tyrod Taylor, especially because, speaking of earned it, he's put in his dues in the National Football League, and he got his opportunity with the Giants, and I was excited for him to see what he could do with that opportunity with Daniel Jones unavailable, but obviously we see the way that that has played out. But that game is one of the interesting ones, and I know we talked about it a little bit ago, but it feels a little bit like a trap because of how well Green Bay has played recently and our lack of belief in Tommy DeVito. But I just don't know where to go on that one. I was thinking about laying the points with Green Bay in the contest this week, but I'm not sure if I can get there or not.
Yeah, I think that's the hard one for me. I don't know how I want to take them. 6.5 and a low score, it's, to me, it seems like the right thing to do, but I just don't know.
Yeah, it'll be a fun back and forth. So for anybody who doesn't know this, I actually do the contest every week with my dad, and you should see the text messages that go back and forth of us trying to discuss certain things, and then he ends up ultimately calling me because he gets so frustrated about X, Y, and Z. So that'll be a fun debate, especially because I have liked Green Bay lately. We're going to step aside here on the Lombardi Line. When we come back, what a lot of folks might be watching tonight, given the game that we have on Thursday Night Football, the NBA in-season tournament rolls on tonight. The inaugural semifinal matchups. We got two games on tap live from Las Vegas at T-Mobile Arena. Our senior NBA handicapper here at VSiN, Jonathan Von Tobel, is going to give us the lowdown when we come back next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score $150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code VSiN, that's V-S-I-N, DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. And let's talk a little NBA here as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you. And we'll bring in the one and only JVT, our senior NBA betting analyst here at VSiN. Also does a great job hosting the Hardwood Handicappers podcast. Make sure you get that in your downloads. You can catch him here on the network every weekend as well. Live bet Saturday and Sunday. Loved the College Lines Revealed show this college football season, JVT. I'm a little bit sad that came to an end, but I bet you guys had some good discussion this past week with the way things played out. Did you get ahead of any early numbers?
Yeah, a couple of them. I mean, so there's a few, Stormy, and I actually haven't bet like a ton of games in which I thought, like, you know, there was information that was prevalent, but I did bet a few. You know, I've got a couple of bets in the semifinals. I bet under in Michigan and Alabama, under 46. I took 4.5 with Washington against Texas. Some of the other balls, I laid 3.5 with Penn State against Ole Miss. I bet the over in the game that you're going to be on, the guaranteed rate bowl that I'll be out there for, UNLV and Kansas. Those are a few that I bet early.
Awesome.
JBT, what was your thoughts? I mean, did you think that Florida State belonged in, A, and B, if what were your final four?
So, Michael, my thoughts on the Florida State thing are this, is that the committee is inconsistent. You know, you can't tell me that it's the four best teams when, first off, you rank Florida State ahead of Georgia. That means you're not ranking them by who you think are the best teams, because Florida State's not better than Georgia. And that would also mean that if it's the four best teams, Georgia would be in. Mm-hmm. So I just think that it doesn't make any sense to say that what Florida State did was not enough because they weren't one of the four best teams, but also ranked like Washington, for example, as the second best team, but only because they're an undefeated Power Five champion, because they're not better than Texas, right? They're not better than Alabama. So that's the thing that drove me nuts. And if you were going to go by that, for me, I go by more of what your resume says, what you're deserving, and a Power Five champ deserves to be it. So my top four were Michigan, Washington, Texas, and Florida State. But my whole gripe is just more you're inconsistent with your own parameters, and I think that's what drives me and other people nuts.
Yeah, I will say I am pleased with the matchups that we got. I think they're going to be really, really good games for us to bet on and from a viewership standpoint. But I agree, like the fatal flaw in the whole logic of that thing was that you're saying that it's the best teams and that Georgia is still behind Florida State in that argument, yep. Which is just inaccurate and it's just wrong. Let's get to the semifinals, though, in tonight's in-season tournament, the inaugural in-season tournament, and this total in the Pacers-Bucks game just continues to rise from 254.5, now sitting 257. Are we getting out of hand here a little bit?
So I'm going to hate myself for this as I sit in T-Mobile later tonight and watch just bucket after bucket go down, I'm sure. But I bet this under 257, Stormy. I think this is what we're going to do here. Now, I'll bring you back. Like, we'll zoom out a bit to give you the analysis on this. So part of my thinking coming into the in-season tournament knockout stage was, there's a chance this takes the shape of like a faux playoff sort of setting, right? Which is slower paces, more sets, right? Half court sets, willing to let defenses get set because you're running your own stuff, you know, just like we see in the playoffs, shorter rotations as well. And in the four games we saw in the quarterfinals, guys, all four games had less than 100 possessions. So that kind of transpired. However, we're 2-2, right? Even split over and under. And even you go back to the Bucks where they had, I think it was like 100 and 200 and like what, 70 or 60 points, whatever in that game against the New York Knicks. Guys, that game only had 95 possessions. That was a slow game. It was just hyper-efficient offense. So Stormy, bringing it back to this game, I bet this under because I do believe we're getting a little out of hand. I'm willing to go under 257 because at the very least, I had a theory that these games would slow down. I have four games that told me that they have slowed down and that now you're in a new environment, a neutral environment, unfamiliar shooting backgrounds where the winner gets to move on for a crack at $500,000 for each player. I think you see the pace tighten up a little bit here. So I'm willing to go under 257. I think we have gotten a little too far.
Let's talk about the Lakers. I mean, the Lakers started the season slowly, but they've come on. Now they're here in the finals. What have you seen from them, JVT? And do you think they'll be this good come next May?
You know, I don't know if they're going to be good in the big picture, Michael. I've called them like a different version of the team they were last year, right? Which is a team that is very strong in the restricted area, both offensively and defensively. A team that is heavily reliant on LeBron James. They have a negative like 12.7 net rating in the possessions without LeBron on the floor. You shouldn't be that reliant on LeBron at this point of his career. You shouldn't be that bad without LeBron at this point. So I think, Michael, they're a team that if the bracket breaks right for them, just like it did last year, they could potentially make a run. But if we're talking about teams in terms of ratings and strengths and teams that I would put ahead of them and just who do I think is better, I think there's about four teams in the Western Conference alone that I would pick to come out of the West before I would pick the Los Angeles Lakers at this point.
Well, they're laying 2 tonight against the Pelicans, total up now to 230.5 from this standpoint. I mean, and they had a little bit of a controversial win and cover against the Suns in the quarterfinal earlier this week. What do you make of the matchup? Who do you think has the edge and gets out of this thing?
Yeah, Stormy, somebody who had a Suns 30-1 ticket to win this in-season tournament, I would say that was very controversial. And if I was Frank Vogel, I never would have left the floor. I think you're looking at it from a side perspective, I'd lean a little bit toward the Lakers, only in that I don't think the Pelicans have a defender that is going to be able to take on LeBron James. New Orleans' best defender is Herb Jones, and he's 6'7 and 205. Like, he's given up about 50 pounds to LeBron James. That's not going to be a matchup that physically he's going to win. But I'll say this, I know I feel strongly about the under. Like, it's at 231 now. If you go back to their quarterfinal matchup with the Suns, the Lakers had about 96 possessions. They were very slow. They tried to run here and there, but their best offense and the way they closed out that game was half-court possessions with LeBron in control, and I think they're going to be willing to do that. So I bet under 231. I think the Lakers move on, but the bet for me is actually under the total.
And your MVP tournament odds, LeBron's at plus 350. Giannis is at plus 400. Who do you have money on?
Yeah, it's hard not to say that it's LeBron if you think they're going to win and move on, right, Michael? Especially when you're looking at a perspective of if we assume that it's going to be the Indiana Pacers in the next round, like, because I think the Pacers are the pick to move on against Milwaukee. Mm. Like, that's a matchup that LeBron's going to feast on. Like, there's not many guys, again, who are going to match up physically with LeBron defensively And their best defender is Miles Turner. So I think if the Lakers are going to win this thing, it's going to be LeBron, especially after his performance the other night against the Phoenix Suns. He was incredible. And that's going to be enough, I think, to get it to him. So I think the Lakers ultimately win. So I think LeBron is the rightful favorite. I think it's worth the bet.
Yeah, he had 31 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds in 40 minutes. And the man is 23 days away from turning 39 years old. Still one of those top players in the league at this point. How has this in-season tournament been received, JVT? Because it seems like the players care about it. The intensity is up. What's your perspective on it?
I think so, Stormy. And, you know, so the way I gauge it is I talk to people who don't really watch the NBA at this time of the year. And all of them have kind of said the same thing. You know, when they watch and they see those floors, they know that something's different, right? They know that the games might mean something other than just a regular season game. And people who I know don't watch it have watched some of these games and at least are aware of what is happening. And the intrigue of playing three neutral site games, right? Two today, one on Saturday, has piqued the interest of people that I've talked to that aren't like me, right? That watch this every single night. So I would say it's worked out really well for them. And that's why I was a proponent of it. You know, when you look at it overall, it's a win-win, man. It's regular season games. Slap some fancy floors and a different label on each, every one of them. And if you win a couple of them, guess what? You get to go to Las Vegas and play for $500K each. I think it was a good idea for the NBA. And I think that a lot of people have kind of, at the very least, paid attention to it a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that the courts kind of have me a little bit off. I can't quite get used to it, JVT, I got to be honest. But the level of play, I'm surprised how good it is and the level of play. And I'm trying to figure out, like, where does this go when the regular season comes back? And obviously, we know Milwaukee's going to be good. But it's kind of hard for me to judge the other teams as it relates to. I think, what's your view of Phoenix? I know you had them in the tournament. What's your view of Phoenix as it goes forward?
You know, for them, and it's actually similar to New Orleans too, Michael, it's just all about health, right? You know, Bradley Beal, they haven't even played their big three. I think it was a single game, right? Bradley Beal's been out this whole time. Now, sounds like he's going to be back somewhat soon. But if they're going to be fully healthy, they're going to be one of the best offensive teams in the NBA. You know, the numbers with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant together are incredible. So I think, you know, I mentioned earlier, right, four teams that I believe to be better than the Los Angeles Lakers when at full strength. The Suns are one of those teams. I think they can win the Western Conference with how elite they can be on offense. It's just whether or not they're going to be together. And that's the big question. And you can never really predict that.
So, JVT, just to put a bow real quickly on this in-season tournament coming up tonight, who do you see getting into the championship game and who wins it? The Bucks are a plus 170 favorite, Lakers plus 240, Pels plus 360, and the Pacers a long shot at plus 425. Who'd you bet?
I'll go Lakers over Pacers in the final on Saturday. I think that's the way to do it. I think the Pacers are pretty live, so we'll get a fun game.
Love that. Awesome stuff, as always, buddy. Thank you so much for joining us. And
thanks, JVT.
Try not to have too much fun out there.
I won't. See you guys.
JVT, he's out there at MGM right now. He's telling us he was getting the credential. He's watching Shoot Around. I'm thinking about going to the championship game on Saturday if the Lakers do make it into that game. Because I feel like that's another element to this too, Michael, is maybe people don't realize this, but because we don't have an NBA team here in Las Vegas, like, I imagine it's going to be a pretty pro-Lakers crowd out there. There's a lot of Lakers fans here,
so,
and
right?
An easy trip.
Yeah, you would think so. And eventually you're going to get one, aren't they? There's a lot of conversations about Seattle and Las Vegas potentially getting teams. So I think, you know, you got a baseball team, Stormy. I think you're going to get a basketball team. You got a hockey team. You got it all.
Well, let's throw that extra layer in there. LeBron James would like to be part ownership of that team that comes here to Vegas. Motivating to show out for his soon-to-be city potentially in the future. Just alternate angles, Michael, here for the people. We'll be right back wrapping things up today for the Lombardi Line. Final thoughts on Thursday night football and some big games coming up this weekend.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find only at Total Wine and More. Please drink responsibly. Must be 21 and up, and especially around the holidays, getting the house stocked and ready. Great stuff there from Total Wine. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we wrap things up here on this Thursday edition of the Lombardi Line. And we were talking earlier when Mike Somich joined the program, Michael, that, like, thank goodness that betting exists for a lot of us to get through this Thursday night football game, because it is on paper going to be a little bit of a rough watch here. We've got backup quarterbacks, a pair of struggling offenses, good defenses. So we're not expecting a whole lot of scoring here, which kind of leads us to our pro tip of the hour. And again, we do these every single show here on the network, but there are a lot more ways that you can bet a low scoring game besides just the under. You can take a look at different, more unique props. We looked at the punt props. Mike Somich had a bunch of defensive angles to get in here. Free daily betting tips, vsin.com, your pro tip of the Lombardi line. But I think that's great, Michael, that sometimes you have to get a little bit creative in some of these games.
I think, you know, look, if you kind of have a sense, and look, if you're late to the party, right, this is really what we're talking about here is when you're late to the party, when you, you know, like, what's your concern about betting the under tonight? Late to the party.
Yep, because the percentage and the percentages of people that have bet the under too is a little scary as well.
And even though we know the favorites, the public has done a great job over the last couple of weeks of winning, we know that that comes to an end at some point, and you don't want to be left without a chair. So find alternative ways to get the same result.
So I don't have access to a book that can bet the punts, but I think we all agreed that the over-under sitting at 14.5 was a little bit high for a game that typically in the NFL averages 8 punts per game. 14.5 seemed a little high, even if we do expect this being such a low-scoring game. But the way I approached this was, and again, I know this goes against some betting rules and people don't like it when you include a total in a teaser, but that's the way that I approached this was I did the Steelers. I teased that down, a 6-point teaser, teased that down. They just need to win and the total under 36. So I still feel confident that it's going to be a type of game that's a little bit of a rock fight here, that the Steelers are the better of the lesser of two evils from this spot offensively and that they'll get the win. That's my approach.
Yeah, I think to me, you know, I know that you're not supposed to bet teasers with the under, but this is kind of like we've seen this before. So, you know, it's something that you know is going to be happen, and so why not? You know, like you get a good look at it, and I think it's a great opportunity, and it's a way for you to handle it. So I think it's really a smart play on your part. I'm not a big, hey, play the teasers, but I do think this game, if I had to make a play, I would take the Patriots and the points. We see in the contest, the Patriots in the contest are at 5.5.
Yep.
I don't know why. But they are. But 6 in a 30-point total seems a little bit a lot of points to lay. So I would take the Patriots and grin it and not look. But I also think you're right. It's going to stay under the 36.
You can also, a couple other interesting bets that stood out to me just as I was going through the menu for this Thursday night football game. The Patriots team total sitting at 12.5. We know they haven't eclipsed 10 in each of the last 3 weeks, most recently coming off that shutout loss to the Chargers. Plus 190 if you think both the Patriots and Steelers will have an opening drive punt. I think that's a pretty good number. Minus 160 specifically just for the Patriots to have an opening drive punt, which has been the norm for them over their last 6 games. No touchdown. This was the most shocking one, Michael, because from what I understand, and this isn't a market that I have ever bet, but when you just kind of scroll through and you're glancing, like this number is usually over 100-1, 100 whatever, 15-1 for no touchdown in this game. That's ridiculous.
That's amazing. I didn't even see that. I didn't even know that.
Wild.
Like at some point, you know, both teams work on special teams. You would think maybe there could be a break, you know, a special teams tackle or something like that. You would think that, right?
Something. I highly recommend, if you haven't already, just go look through the DraftKings menu because I feel like it's endless, the possibilities from this standpoint. The way I'm playing it, like I said, I'm just going to stick to the teaser because I feel like it's going to be a low scoring game. I didn't have a ton of interest in the anytime touchdown props for guys like I normally would. If you want to check out our guy Mike Somich's best plays as well, he had a few tackle and assists plays earlier in hour one. Download the Lombardi line in podcast form. The big game, though, of the weekend, Michael, is certainly going to be the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles going head-to-head. We're seeing that number pretty firm at the 3.5. That's also what it is in the contest this week. Were you surprised that it didn't tick down to the 3 for the contest number specifically?
Yeah, I am. That which worries me. I think you nailed it. We were in a break, and Stormy said to me, "This game's going to go two ways. Either the Eagles are going to win, or the Cowboys are going to blow them out." And I kind of think that's right. Like I kind of think the point spread's not going to matter in the game. I really kind of do. I don't think it's going to come down to a field goal and you're happy you have the hook. Although that's what everybody's telling you. You might as well take the hook because you get Philly. I don't think that's going to matter. I think you got to pick the winner here.
Yeah. So that was my thought process because we know how the Eagles, we've used that phrase, they find ways to win 100 times this year. And I feel like it's going to be a situation where it's a close down to the wire game and the Eagles are just going to come out on the right side of it, or the Cowboys are going to dominate from start to finish. And I kind of do get the feeling that the Cowboys are in a different spot of their season than the Eagles are. And you referenced a lot yesterday about how a lot of the analytics show that this Eagles team is not as good as their record has shown to this point. And while the Cowboys have struggled against really, really good teams and winning those good games, they've started to figure things out here recently. And that offense is really, really clicking.
Yeah, I mean, when I watched that 49er tape, Stormy, I got to be honest with you, the 49ers were really indifferent to the Eagles' defense. I'm not saying they didn't have respect for them. They just were very confident. And I think the Cowboys, after I watched that tape, then I went back and I watched the Cowboys' tape in the first game. And I think they were very confident, too. I think the coaches know the Eagles are not the same team in every element defensively. 32 sacks compared to 70 last year. Think about that now. Without Hargrave inside, Fletcher Cox a year older, Brendan Graham's a year older, they're not the same team. Now, they're still really good. Riddick's really good. Sweat's really good. I'm not saying that. Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter, they are. But last year was a magical season. And then you add the factor that they don't have White, the linebacker. They don't have Edwards, the linebacker. They're searching for linebackers, and then they can't cover. But they couldn't cover last year. But the defensive front hit it. Now it's not as obvious, right? And when they go against good passing offense, they really struggle. Last year, the Cowboys moved the ball on them down there. Now, Gardner Minshew was the quarterback. He turned it over. I get that. I think this is an over game. I think both teams will move the football effectively.
Well, and that's why we say winning solves everything, right? You talk about different areas that are hidden because they have that 10-2 record. A couple other games that are important in the NFC playoff picture this week. Obviously, that game with the NFC East, top seed, coming down to those two and the San Francisco 49ers. But for the NFC wild card, Vikings, a 3-point favorite at the Raiders, Bucks and Falcons, a big one in the NFC South, Falcons laying a point. Any strong feelings one way or the other in those two games?
Well, I mean, look, I don't understand. This Viking team to me just has that magic formula. They play a lot of close games. I think Kevin's done a great job. They've lost two games. They lose by 12-10 to the give up the last field goal to the Bears, and they get beat by a point by the Broncos. They've lost two games by 3 points. I think they have the bye week, and they get Jefferson back. And I think O'Connell's a really good coach. I'm surprised this line was 2.5. I'm surprised for all the Raider money that's come in, it hasn't moved to 2.5. I think the Vikings are a good team. I think this is a hard game for the Raiders, and here's why. Because Aiden O'Connell's a rookie, and he's a good player, and he's going to be a good player. I don't know if he's going to be a full-time starter, but he's a good player. But the way Brian Flores has played defense since week 3 of the season, you know, a lot of blitz, a lot of mixed coverage, a lot of different looks. He's very confusing for the quarterback pre- and post-snap. And you've got to be really good with your rules. You've got to be really good with your protection schemes to handle it. Because once they force a negative play on the Raiders and they take away Josh Jacobs' ability to run, remember, Denver couldn't run the ball on them. Denver could not run the ball on them. Once you do that, all of a sudden it becomes a problem. It becomes a real issue. And now the Raiders are trying to throw the ball and O'Connell makes a mistake and turns it over. That's where it comes down to. And I just don't know, can the Raiders play well enough on defense against an offense that's had some more time with Jefferson back? I was surprised Mike Samich, who I think does a great job, I was surprised he went with the Raiders here as the home dog, because I just didn't feel like the matchup favors them at all here.
Yeah, and as far as the playoff picture goes for Minnesota, they win this game, they improve to 7-6. And right now we've got four teams that are kind of stuck in that 6-6 mode, with two teams getting the edge and making the wild card round and two on the outside looking in. So some important matchups coming up down the stretch. Again, Vikings currently a 3-point favorite here at Allegiant Stadium, total 40. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks for hanging out. Good luck with Thursday Night Football. All you folks that are on the under, good luck. I'll be rooting for you. I'm going to stick with my 36, though.
There you go, Stormy. I'll see you on Sunday. Thank you, Stormy.
Sounds good. See you then.